This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Terrace Todd is a Calhoun County Commissioner. He is seeking the Democratic nomination for State House in the 62nd District, which includes the city of Battle Creek. It is currently represented by Democrat Kate Siegel, who cannot run for re-election because of term limits. Terrace Todd, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We're also joined by Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thanks for having me.
Terrace Todd, why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and briefly tell us why you're running for State House.
Great. Well, again, my name is Terrace Todd, born and raised in the city of Battle Creek. So I am a native of Battle Creek, graduated from Penfield High School. I'm also a graduate of Western Michigan University, I'm proud Bronco, youngest of three boys, raised in a single parent home. I am married to my wonderful wife, Karen, and three daughters. I have been on the Calhoun County Board of Commissioners now for 10 years. I'm in my fifth term now. I have had the pleasure and honor of representing District 2 of Calhoun County, which is basically the north side and part of northwest side of Battle Creek. I've decided to run mainly because it's about timing. Kate Siegel and I, we actually served on the county board for a number of years. I think it was like 4 or 6 years that I actually served with her when I first got elected to the Board of Commissioners. But as a result, when she had gone on to represent us at the state level, now that she's term limited and that seat is open, I've had several people come to me and say, you know, they believe it's my time. So here I am.
Jennifer, first question for Terrace Todd.
Let's jump into roads, something I'm sure you've been dealing with on the county board level, and I'm sure that people have asked you while you're on the road campaigning. County boards looked at possible countywide millage. Townships are also discussing it. There's a proposal by the state. Is Lansing doing enough? If you were in Lansing, what would you do as far as road funding?
Well, first of all, if I were in Lansing as the representative of the 62nd District, it's just simply to fund the roads. And if that funding means from the top down all the way down to the townships, so be it. But you're absolutely right. The townships that I've had conversations with, in particular Bedford, these are individuals who have kind of stepped up when they realized that Lansing was not really doing a whole lot to respond to this need of repairing our roads, which is a part of our infrastructure. It also impacts business, if you will. They decided to step up and take on their own, I guess, their own millage, if you will. And so they're going to the voters and asking them for that support. So they're saying, well, hey, you know, if no one else is going to listen to us, we need to at least fix it ourselves. And so I'm very proud of the folks at Bedford Township and even Penfield Township, for the matter, you know, for the most part, because they are also entertaining this option of going to the voters, going to the residents to seek a millage locally. So again, if I was in Lansing, of course, my thing is just simply fund it.
You don't think it should get down to the township level? The state should be taking care of it?
Yeah, the state should be taking care of it. I don't necessarily put the sole responsibility on the state, but I think they should absolutely fund a large portion of it. So that way, when it gets down to the townships, they're not bearing the brunt of the majority of that cost. You know, I think, you know, they do have some responsibility, but not sole responsibility of their township. So the state should have its part.
But where should the state get the money? Should it be an increase in the gas tax, vehicle registration fees? Where should that money come from?
That money should come from all the above, if you will. If it is an increase in the gas tax, if it's an increase of maybe even entertaining the thought of having, you know, toll roads, if you will. I know that conversation is out there as well. Regardless, I mean, that should be funded, you know, and those options should always be on the table. And we choose the best option based upon what the voters decide and that they want. So
toll roads was brought up and was shot down pretty quickly by leaders. Governor Snyder, for one, said that it wasn't a serious proposal at this time. How serious a proposal do you consider it? Are you open to it? Are you advocating for it?
I'm open to it. No question about it. I'm very much open to it because, again, we're in a state of emergency. And so something needs to be done. So we need all hands on deck. We need all options on deck. And so bipartisan support, bipartisan conversations, I mean, I think that should definitely be an option. The toll roads, like I said, all the above. I mean, we have to look at our options because, again, we're at a state of emergency here. So, and I think that's why Bedford decided to go ahead and step up and take on, because they realize it is a state of emergency here. So.
And they do have the highest cost of needed improvements.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right.
I want to talk about the minimum wage last week. We got a raised minimum wage that'll increase along with inflation over the next few years that Governor Sanders signed into law. If you were in Lansing in that vote, how would you have voted?
I would have voted in support of any amount of raising of the minimum wage, to be honest with you. And this is something that's near and dear to me because, again, with 40% of our households being led by women, single mothers in particular, I am also a product of a single parent family by my mom raising me. I wish that it would have been at 1010 like the federal government was proposing, but any way in the right direction is good for me. So I would have voted for any amount of increase for minimum wage because those mothers, those families need that support. They need that security for them and their families to raise their kids. So I would have voted in support of that.
Now, there was also a ballot proposal that was being floated that there were signatures collected for that, you know, we did go to 1010 an hour. If you're sitting there and you got to make that vote, do you go ahead and say, hey, we take the increase we can get? Or would you have been tempted to say, let's let it go to the ballot and see if we can get 1010?
Let's let it go to the ballot and see if we can get 1010.
Even if it, would you have voted then against the minimum wage increase?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would have voted against that if we can get the 1010.
Okay,
for certain.
Okay, but you said before that you take that any increase is good. So if you're a state lawmaker making that vote.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, no, I think I would have locked that in then, if you put it that way.
You'd lock in 925.
Yes, sir. I would lock in that. Because, I mean, because then we're in a situation where if that fails, then what? You know, so that's a hard one to swallow, to be honest with you. That's a big chance to take, to be honest with you, to let that fail. So, but yeah, I would have been in support of that.
So I'm hearing that something's better than nothing.
Something's better than nothing. We're heading in the right direction, at least.
Is it fair to say that what has been approved and signed into law isn't quite enough?
Well, people are happy with being at least headed in the right direction towards the 1010. My ultimate goal would have been 1010. But again, I am in support of the fact that if that is signed in, we're at least headed in the right direction. They at least have some amount of increase to provide better for them and their kids. So yeah, I'll stick with that.
Part of the reason that Republican lawmakers apparently were willing to go along with increasing the minimum wage is that business groups had concerns about the ballot proposal bringing tipped employees up. Is that a legitimate concern that that if you brought waitresses, waiters, bartenders up to that same minimum wage, that it would put a squeeze on restaurants and bars, that sort of thing?
Well, in relation to bringing them on, it is a legitimate concern. It is a legitimate concern because a lot of times they're more concerned about their bottom line. But again, any step in the right direction with raising their wage, I think it's a positive increase for me personally, because you do have situations where individuals who are in that tip situation that they don't really make enough. Period. You know, it might be a bad night. I mean, you know, they might have only taken home $10 in tips. Some only make what, like $270, $280. You know, and then the rest are tips. You know, I remember actually working at Finley's, and our waitresses were hit with that. And so sometimes, you know, they try to squeeze water out of a rock. And so any step in that right direction with raising that, it is a legitimate concern. But most important, I'm all for them being able to raise it to one that they can all live with, for the most part, to provide for their families. So
do you think there should be a different minimum wage for those workers, for tipped workers? Should they be paid somewhat less in terms of a minimum wage than someone who does not regularly receive gratuities?
That's a very good question, because they do get tips. So not everyone is at that leisure of receiving tips. So I would agree that maybe they should actually at some point discuss the option of what's fair to them. And I guess I'm looking at it from a percentage standpoint, because when you raise minimum wage, what percentage were they at? You know, what percent of increase did they get or go from to? And so I think that same percentage, if we dealt with percentages, I think that same percentage should be applied to those who are tip workers as well. So
this is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Calhoun County Commissioner Terrace Todd, who is running for the Democratic nomination for State House in the 62nd District, which includes the city of Battle Creek. Also here is Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman. Jennifer?
Calhoun County and jobs.
We've
seen an increase in manufacturing. We have had a drop in the unemployment rate with the most recent numbers that the state's released. But with that growth being mostly manufacturing and with the city of Battle Creek constantly pushing for attraction of young professionals, how do you think we're doing with our efforts in workforce development? And are we creating a variety of jobs to help boost the income?
Very good question. True, we are headed in the right direction in regards to manufacturing, but not everyone is designed to work in manufacturing. I mean, you do have a lot of individuals who are focused on business. Some are looking for retail. Some are looking in engineering. If we are to be, I guess, relevant, a relevant community where we are able to attract young professionals, I think we have to do a better job at creating an environment which is supportive of that population of professionals as well. And I don't think we're really doing that good of a job, per se, as a community or even as a county when it comes to the training aspects of those who are seeking things other than manufacturing. And so we've always had that challenge. And to be honest with you, my view on that as well, I mean, a lot of people do talk about the jobs and whatnot, but it has been proven over time that individuals who are owners of their own business, they typically have a 5 times greater chance of being financially independent, you know. And so a lot of people are not having that conversation, you know. Then why aren't we teaching our kids on that you owning your own business is an option as well? So I think, you know, I think we have to have both sides of the coin, if you will, teach them about business ownership, but also do a better job at creating those training and job skill opportunities for those who desire to go into manufacturing. So I think we can do a better job at that, to be honest with you. Yeah.
There is a proposal on the August ballot, the only one on there, and it does relate to job creation in mm-hmm. the minds of many. This is to phase out the personal property tax. Of course, this would affect you as a state lawmaker.
Right.
It would also affect you at the Calhoun County level because a lot of local governments rely on the revenue from the
revenue.
So where do you come down on this ballot proposal?
Honestly, I think we're overtaxed, period, just across the board, whether it's personal property taxes or business taxes or whatever. So when we deal with taxes, I'm kind of sensitive to that. But the elimination of the property tax and business ownership, if you're creating those opportunities for that, then there's going to be a tax that comes with that as well, you know, for those who are owning their own businesses and whatnot. So I was just having a conversation the other day with someone about business, personal and property and whatnot. And honestly, I just think we're overtaxed, period, across the board. So where I'm at on the elimination of that, it's very sticky. It's a sensitive area because, again, you're right. I mean, county government does rely on that person. I mean, that property tax. And so to think about eliminating county government, I don't know if I can be in real support of that because they do need a little bit more local, I guess, more local control as it relates to government. And so anyway, that's something that I need to probably brush up a little bit more on, educate myself a little bit more about. But as it stands now, I probably wouldn't be in favor of that. So
now the state has a plan to replace that funding or maybe not all of it. Yeah. How confident are you that it would be there?
I'm not very confident it'll be there, to be honest with you, because same way with local, shared revenue, you know, local shared revenue. I mean, you know, we were counting on local revenue sharing for years and that hasn't been there, you know? And so I'm not too confident it'll be there. It really all boils down to who's in the seat and who's there and, them being men and women of their word. And so, I guess that's my fear, if you will, is that I don't really think it would necessarily be there. I mean, people say that because it's good, it's election season or whatever, but, I'm not too confident. I hadn't had too much confidence lately that funding would be there, to be honest with you. So,
Jennifer?
I want to jump to social issues.
Oh,
same-sex
yeah.
marriage. Do you think it should be recognized by the state?
Well, good question. I have always, me personally, I have always stood for equality and justice for everyone. And even the people that I've talked with in same-sex relationships or even heterosexual relationships, a lot of them, it boils down to just equality, them being treated with some equality. And so that's pretty much where I stand on the issue. And it wasn't really even about them being married. Some look at marriage as like just something that's ceremonial, just going through the formality. Some see it as a piece of paper. But there are others who also see it as a sacred entity. It's something that's set apart, you know, for religious reasons or whatever. But it boils down, for me, it boils down to everyone being treated equal, with equality. So that's really where I stand with that, to be honest with you.
So if everyone's being treated equally, does that mean that two people can get married regardless of gender?
Well, what I'm saying is, in equal, I'm talking about equal as far as like humanity, equal as far as like human rights. Because as it stands now, you know, those who are in, I guess, traditional marriages, if you will, they have certain list of benefits that those who choose to be in non-traditional relationships, they don't have. But then there's also others who are in, you know, a heterosexual relationship who also are left out the mix too. So that's why when I'm saying that I'm standing for equality and justice for all people, I'm even talking about those who are in a male-female relationship. I mean, we all know individuals who may have been together for a number of years. They live together. They have kids together. But yet they just chose not to come under the umbrella of marriage. And unfortunately, they're unable to make any kind of medical replacement decisions on behalf of their loved one. And so I don't think that's right. I think individuals should be able to be with whoever they choose to be with. And also, if they choose that this is the person I want to make those decisions for me, then they should have that right.
The straight couple, however, does have the option of being married legally. And they don't have to go. They don't have to make it a religious thing if they don't wish to. They can go to a justice of the peace.
That's cool.
As of now in Michigan, a same-sex couple does not have that option. We had a brief window where they could, but right now they don't.
That's true.
Would you say at least that should be offered to same-sex couples, the opportunity to get legally married?
Well, and then again, the voters decided that, you know, to be honest with you. And so as an elected official, I have to stand with the voice of the people. You know, I think that the voters should decide, and if they if that's what they decide, right, wrong, or indifferent, you have to respect that, you know. And so as it stands now, this is the law, you know. But if that voice has since changed, then we have to be able to respect that, too, you know. So, and that's pretty much where I stand with that.
State lawmakers could vote to put something on the ballot to let the voters decide again. Would you be in favor of doing that if you're in the state legislature?
Absolutely. Let the voters decide that. I mean, technically, I'm as an elected official, you're called to represent all people. And it's unfortunate that there are few who kind of, I guess, shake the tree more so for others. You know what I mean? And so so I say let the people decide that. You know, I'm called to govern. I'm called to make for sure that there's equality. There's a balance for everyone. You know, so to get into that kind of thing, man, it's sticky for some. But I say let the voters decide that.
Governor Snyder has said that lawmakers should at least discuss amending the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act, which is more or less the state's non-discrimination law, and consider adding protections for sexual orientation. Would you be in favor of that?
I would be in favor of no discrimination whatsoever, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of whatever. I mean, you know, any discriminatory practice is totally unacceptable in my book. So, absolutely.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans, speaking with Terrace Todd, who is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for State House in the 62nd District, which includes the city of Battle Creek. Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman is here as well. Jennifer?
Let's stick to social issues. Marijuana. Medical marijuana, it's legal in Michigan, but there's, of course, been controversy over whether there should be storefronts that that sell it, dispensaries, collectives, whatever the term you want to stick in there. But some states have gone even further and legalized recreational use. Where do you stand on that?
Well, again, social issues, they're social issues. As long as it's legal, I'm for that. I mean, whether you agree or disagree, the bottom line is that it's the law. It's acceptable. If you allow dispensaries or whatever, again, it's legal, you know. So as an elected official, I have to go with the legal side. And so I would be in support of the fact that as long as it's legal, as long as it's been proven and supported by the people, then why not?
So with medical marijuana being legalized and with the debate of those who favor dispensaries saying not allowing these storefronts limits access to a patient's medication, do you think that should be changed? Do you think there is enough access for someone who has a prescription for medical marijuana to obtain it in a way that they say is the safest way to do it.
Sure. Yeah, I think there is. I mean, I think there is enough access to that. I also know people personally that are on medical marijuana as well. So again, I believe that there is a balance of or at least enough access to that. So I'm in support of that. I mean, you know, as long as we've gotten this far, we've come this far as a state, and people have decided to legalize that, then I'm okay with that. You know, I don't have to agree with it, but I got to respect that. You know what I mean? So
would you go as far as supporting a ballot proposal to legalize recreational use?
I don't know if I would go that far, simply because, again, when you're talking about recreational use, then you're talking about, people are actually using it recreationally anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. For me, because of my own personal values, I don't know if I will go that far. It has to be legal. It has to be for medicinal reasons and whatnot. But to legalize it, to okay it for recreational use, I think that's kind of stepping out there a little bit.
What are your concerns?
Well, the concern would be people tend to take things a stretch too far with it being illegal. I mean, people have, it's almost like when you give people an inch, they take miles. And so when you start getting off into the recreational piece, then you'll have other issues like it, you know, coming into the schools and all this other stuff. And so me being an educator by profession, that is a very big concern that is getting into the hands of maybe even possibly my daughters, you know. But if we just keep it legalized and keep it for medicinal reasons and allow people to have access that way, then I'm all for that. So the recreational piece, I don't know, that's a little bit stepping over for me.
What some lawmakers have talked about, including some Republican lawmakers, is decriminalizing marijuana. So it would still be illegal, but it becomes more of a civil infraction, perhaps paid by a ticket, which some cities have actually moved in that direction, including Kalamazoo. Does that sound like something that you could support from the standpoint that it wouldn't be legal, but still people wouldn't be filling up our jail cells?
Sure. Yeah, correct. I would support that. Yeah, I would support that.
Would you have supported the state's so-called share of the grand bargain to settle Detroit's bankruptcy if you'd been in the state house?
To settle Detroit's bankruptcy?
Yeah, the $195 million that the state's chipping in to.
Yeah. Well, I have always been a strong supporter of supporting home. And so anything to really help those that are at home, I'm in support of, to be honest with you. So to answer your question, I probably would have been in support of that.
What do you mean by at home?
Well, at home, just, I mean, being a native, you know,
of Michigan.
Of Michigan. Yeah,
okay.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I probably would have been in support of that.
Okay. Do you see that as necessary because the state would end up being on the hook anyway? Or do you see Detroit as being, and their recovery being vital to the state as a whole?
They are very vital. And I'm glad you said that because, to be honest with you, a lot of your politics and a lot of your, when we talk about economic development, all of those things really revolve around Detroit. And so that's why I'm saying I believe I would have been in support of something like that to give them a hand up for the most part. They're a vital role, whether people agree with it or not. I would have been in support of at least supporting them. So,
Jennifer?
Political question for you.
Okay.
County board, you guys have really prided yourself on being able to come together, and it's been quiet. I mean, you guys deal with things quietly. It's nothing like the city commission that I'm covering.
Correct.
But that might not be the same case with this race. It's crowded. What do you think your chances are?
I think my chances are very good. In this particular race, the reason why I say that is because of my experience at the county level, me being a native of Battle Creek, Calhoun County, and I guess the supporters. I mean, a lot of people are very excited for me. There are a lot of people that have come on board to really assist in this campaign. I have some very key supporters that are out there. I'm not going to name them per se, but there are some key supporters that are in the mix that I'm pretty confident that I'm we're going to take away this thing in August and then also in November. So, it's been a blessing to me, though, to be honest with you, to be able to serve the people and, to serve my home, and I think a lot of people lean more towards that because they know who I am. If they don't know me personally, they at least know the name, and I think some people or a lot of people are pretty comfortable with that, for the most part. So I think my chances are pretty good, to be honest with you.
Someone who's been quite quiet about this race is the person who's currently filling the seat. She hasn't endorsed anyone.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll have any effect on this primary? You've got three of you competing.
What that she's quiet? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not too for sure, but I respect Kate a great deal because her and I have worked alongside each other for a number of years on the county board. I respect the fact that she has taken more of a neutral posture, if you will, for the sake of for all things being equal, and so I really commend her for that. And just allowing us to kind of go out and make a name for ourselves and really at least kind of tackle the issues on our own and develop our own, I guess, if you will, following. And so I greatly respect her for that, and I've always loved Kate. Kate and I are, I consider pretty decent friends for the most part. I mean, I just like the fact that she's very genuine. She's been open and honest with us for the most part. And that's something that I also tend to replicate when I get to the state. So she's been a great mentor from afar, even though, it's not like we hang out or anything like that, but she's been a great mentor, a great one to watch and kind of model after for the most part. So I don't think it's going to hurt us at all. I think it's just her way of saying, hey, I'll give you guys your own platform and you go for it, and whoever the people decide, then that's what it comes down to. So
how important do you believe experience at the local government level is for someone who aspires to be a state lawmaker?
I think it serves a great deal because a lot of times it's about service. It's about knowing people knowing you. I think it plays a very vital role, especially when you are active all along. I had told people this. I said, well, for me, when your life is a campaign, then that's what's important. When you're constantly having a heart to serve people and just love and care about people genuinely, in the end, I think you win overall. And so I think it plays a very, very important role because it speaks also to who the voters are supporting. For example, myself, this is my fifth term and I've never lost a precinct, even after my district changed slightly when the boundaries were drawn. I've never lost a precinct. I've never had a primary until now. So there are those who are opportunists, but then there are those who believe that now is their time, and there are voters out there who also agree with, the time is now. I mean, you've paid your dues, so to speak. You've served us well, and we'll get behind you to support you to go to the state level. So I think serving at the local level and that experience is huge to a lot of people. Because it's almost like this. I would rather have a doctor that's been in the business for 20, 30 years than somebody fresh out of college, that because they made a name for themselves and they've developed, a following, if you will, of people who trust them, and that's really what that experience is all about. Being around for a while and people just simply trust you. They trust your person. They trust your judgment. And when you're wrong, you have to be able to be humble enough to say, hey, I was wrong. I missed it, and that's me. I've been able to say, hey, man, I missed it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, whatever. And then you move on. So it's about relationships. And the longer that you're in that relationship, people will tend to trust you to move forward. So
down to our last little bit of time left. Jennifer mentioned that if you are elected to the state legislature, you will be stepping into a somewhat more contentious body than the one you currently serve on. How do you go about even as just one member trying to break through some of the partisanship and the divides up in Lansing? What would be your strategy?
Well, to be honest with you, it's been my strategy all along and how I've lived my life, to be honest with you. I genuinely love and care about people. Many people don't know this, but I'm also a man of faith. My faith background is very near and dear to me. And so one of the things that has always bothered me for the most part is the partisan politics. It's children in the marketplace. And so my thing to be honest with you, is to develop more of a common ground. Because to be honest with you, when you really sit back and you really look, I mean, we basically want the same thing. We want a true quality of life for us and our families. We want to be able to live in a nation where we're free to be able to express ourselves, or even just to have an opportunity to live a progressive life for our children and generations to come. And so, but our methods and our strategies of getting that, you know, it may be slightly off. So, again, my goal is to find a common ground in everything that we do, you know, regardless of whatever side of the aisle you're on. And to be honest with you guys, yes, I'm on the Democratic ticket, but I also have had bipartisan support for this past 10 years. As a matter of fact, it's not only been Democrats that have encouraged me to run. There were some Republicans that encouraged me to run as well, because they said they believe that I would be everyone's representative. You know, not saying that I'm a know-it-all or whatever. They just believe that I'm humble enough to at least go and do what needs to be done and have the fight in me to go get it done. So
can you give us any names?
I won't give any names right now. You'll see them on my list. I won't put them out there like that. I'll get their permission first before I actually do that. And there are several, I'm going to tell you that, but we'll leave it at that.
Terrace Todd, thank you for your time.
No, thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Terrace Todd is a Calhoun County Commissioner. He is running for the Democratic nomination for State House in the 62nd District. That's currently represented by Democrat Kate Siegel and includes the city of Battle Creek. And thanks again to Battle Creek Inquirer reporter Jennifer Bowman.
Thank you.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.